I'm going to talk to you this morning. I want to teach you some things about love, about biblical love. And, you know, it's kind of lessons of love from the book of John, or from John, not just the book of John. We're going to go to the epistles of John, too, as well. I want you to keep your comments to a minimum, because, you know, and your questions or things to a minimum, just so I can teach through this. Otherwise, it gets too carried away. Okay, so, but I was going to teach you something else in our discipleship series, but really when I started reading through 1 John in my Bible, daily Bible study, I was kind of taken by some of the things that John said about love, and I really don't think people understand what love is. Now, we've talked about charity and a few things like that and a lot of things like that. I think we had a series, like 4 or 5 messages on that, on biblical charity. But I want to talk to you about love because there's some proof and there's some examples and explanations in the fruit of love and what love really is. And when people talk about love today, I don't think they understand what the Bible says about love, what real love is. And I think we can learn some lessons from John, you know, about love. So the first place I want to take you is John chapter 5 and verse number 42. And we're kind of going to do a Bible study here this morning on this and go through a lot of references on love. And we're going to talk about them. And I want you to think about some of these things and see kind of the proof, the fruit of love, and the examples that are given here, because a lot of people talk about love, but they don't know what God's love really is. And the question you can ask yourself is, do I practice God's love? You know, that's a good question to ask ourselves, is do we understand it? Do we practice it? And what are the practical applications of that love in our lives? Because really, what this does boil down to is salvation as well, is the fruit of salvation. Because you can't, if you don't have any biblical love in your heart, then you are not of the Father. You have to have some, you have to, as a saved person, we are given, and there's examples of that and fruit of that. So John chapter 5, verse number 42, Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, "But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." Jesus said he could see them, he knew them, he said, "You don't have the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." So they would not receive the love of the Father. They did not have the love of the Father. They did not have the love of God in their hearts. They were not saved. They were not children of God. He said, "I know you." He said, "You don't receive the love of God. You don't have it. You don't practice it." It's interesting that John's focus, I don't know what that was, a chord or something there. John's focus in his epistles and in his gospel is on love. He has a unique focus. The three other gospels are very similar. John's is different. John's focus is really, and he was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. So his focus is that. His focus is on the love of God. That's what. So when we go through here the book of John and 1 John, and actually his epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, when we look at that, you're going to see the evidences of love, the application of love, the examples of love that are right there. You're going to see that. This is very important. These are what you would call identifying factors of the child of God. Now, we're not going to go through an exhaustive study of all the identifying factors of a child of God, but in the focus being just on the love of God. And understanding what that is, it will help you and I to grow as Christians to understand this. And I all I did was go through my Bible and go through this word search, and I was reading through this. I was reading through the epistles, and it just kind of stuck out to me that these are some things that we need to talk about. So Jesus said that. Now I want you to turn to John chapter 8, verse number 42. Now they are speaking to Jesus. Jesus said, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, we be born not of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. If you have the love of God in you, then you love Jesus." Amen. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now, one identifying factor of having the love of God in you is that you understand God's word. The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That means that you have an understanding of God's word. It is there. It is present in your heart. That doesn't mean you have perfect understanding because we see through a glass darkly, right? But it means that, you know what? The general flow of the scriptures aren't confusing to you. You can see that and you can understand what the Bible says. It's not confusing. Every person said to me, I don't understand the Bible. I read it. I don't understand. That's because they're not saved. When you have the love of God in you, you understand the Bible. Doesn't mean you understand everything about it. I'm saying the general theme of the scriptures, you can see Christ. And you can understand Jesus. Why? Because you have the love of God in you. Jesus said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Okay? So, Jesus, again, is laying down that example. Now, John chapter 10, verse number 17. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I received of my Father. Now, we're going to illustrate this again. But one thing I want you to understand is this. When you have the love of God in you, you can lay down your life. That doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, take a bullet for Jesus. It means you're going to live for him every day. Amen. It means that you can lay down your will. You can deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Why? Because you have the love of God in you. That is the love of God. Right? That's why we can do that. Because we have the love of God in us. If you can't do that, if you can't deny yourself, it's because you're not his. If you can't deny yourself, if you have to the preeminence all the time, you cannot deny yourself because you have not the love of God in you. Amen. Come on, it's just Bible, just reading Bible right there. Plain as day, hard to argue with, right, Jacob? Right? I remember Jacob before he was saved. He couldn't do that. Man, he'd go out street preach. He could preach for hours. But he didn't have the love of God in him. He couldn't deny himself. He couldn't. He got saved. You saw the change right away. And his wife got saved. Everything changed, didn't it? Marriage and everything changed. Right? Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost takes that selfishness out of you. You start loving people. That's love. Greater love hath no man than this, right? Jesus said, no man took my life. I gave it. No man has to take your life. You give it freely. All right? John chapter 13. Verse number 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You mark that down, that's the identifying factor. By this shall all men know. Now, we have to define what that is because a lot of people, this is where we come to the point where we're going to start defining what this love really is. Because a lot of people think this love is this warm, cushy, what was his name? He's a jellyfish. You know, right? I'm like a jellyfish. Remember that guy? You know, that's how you are. You have no spine. You just take everything. You love everything, you know, in the way the world loves, and that you call love laying down every biblical principle you can to make people happy. To make my mother happy, to make my father happy, to make everybody happy, I lay down every biblical principle that I have to in order to prove my love. Does that sound about right? Because that's what people want. Even people that say they're Christians, that's what they want. Well, that's when you take the Word of God and take him to the woodshed and give him an education. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to show you, we're going to equip you and show you from the Word of God what that real love is. Because it's not laying down everything that Jesus said to stand for and to do right with in order to make people happy. That's not love. That's not biblical love, and that's not what Jesus said. He did say to deny yourself. He did not say to deny him and his word. Because that would be hate for God. He did say that he came to cause a sword, to send a sword, not peace. Right? He did say that it would cause mother and daughter to be at variance with each other. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. Now, here's the thing about that. They don't like that. You don't like that. You want it to be different. Right? But you have to settle it into your heart. And they're going to throw every devilish accusation against you, against your church, against your pastor, against everything else. Right? Why? Because they want you to lift them up instead of Christ. That's why. And call that love. No. I don't think they know what that means when they say that. Do you? No. So let's look at it. We're going to look at it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Right? Now, are you ready? So he says that in chapter 13. Now it's about to get interesting, okay? You ready, Brother Scott? It's about ready to get interesting here. Because now we're going to turn to John chapter 14. Isn't that something? He just told you that, right? He just told you, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. All right. Well, what does that love mean? All right. I'm glad you asked that. John 14, 15. Because here we go. Right, Lee? I'm so glad to hear you ask that. Right, Lee? Because John 14, 15 starts it out. Are you ready? If you love me, keep my commandments. Bam, there you go. First off, are you paying attention? Listen, class, pay attention. Don't get sleepy on me. You'll do jumping jacks, all right? Let's go. I want you to listen here. I want you to learn something so you can actually take it. And when these people badmouth your God and your book and his book, his word, and your church and your pastor and everything else, that you can just look at them and say, no, this is what God's word says. Right. Have something besides sour grapes to say to them. Yep. Right? Actually, of the Word of God, and that's why you can continue on and walk in confidence when everybody hates your guts. Right. That's why you can do that. Yep. And you just go, whoosh. There goes that one. Yep. Used to that. Yep. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 50. If you love me, keep my commandments. So Jesus' first thing after he says that talks about love there, he says in chapter 14, verse number 15, he says, okay, so now that we've established that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another, let's start it out. Number one, if you love me, keep my commandments. So loving the brethren, loving like Christ loves means that I keep his commandments. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? That's what that means. It doesn't mean that I give in. It doesn't mean that I ignore his command. It doesn't mean that I give in to make other people happy. It doesn't mean I drop biblical standards to make other people happy with me. It doesn't mean I comply with other people so they're happy with me, so they won't be mad at me. Right? How timely is the Word of God? All right. Are you ready? Let's read here. It says here, he that hath my commandments, in verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Ready? He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Okay? God's power comes and his presence comes to those who keep his commandments and love him. And he promises that he will be there for them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Right? That's the mark of a child of God. Amen. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. There he says it again. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So when all these people say, God is love, God is love, he sure is. And how did he define that love? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the love of God, right? That you keep his commandments. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Now remember, he attaches that peace with what? Obedience. Yep. Listen, he attaches peace to obedience. And that is not just an outward obedience, that is inwardly. Your conscience also bearing witness. Right here, and I do exercise myself to have a conscience always void of offense between God and man. Inwardly, not just outward obedience. You can outwardly comply, kid, and Christian, new Christian, kid. You can outwardly comply and inwardly rebel. But peace comes from what? Peace I leave with you, right? My peace I give unto you. Verse number 27. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. See, you want the peace that the world gives. That's the peace of the damned. That you know what they say? Oh, we want peace. Yeah, you do. But you want it. You want to trade peace for truth. You want peace, but you don't want truth. You want lies. You want to be comfortable in your evil. You want to be comfortable within in your disobedience and rebellion. You want that peace. Jesus said, nope, my peace is attached to your obedience, to keep my commandments. That's when you have peace. When you don't obey him, you don't have peace. But you know that, don't you? You know that. You know that, right? And there isn't any excuse for it. But you know that. And then you say, I don't know why I feel this way. Well, it could be because you're not being obedient. Let me go on a limb and say it could be that. And you don't have any peace. Well, Jesus said, I don't give it like the world gives it. I'm just going to hand you here. Let me make you feel good about yourself. That's not how Jesus gives peace. Right? That's not how Jesus gives peace. Jesus gives peace through obedience. His love, if you love me, keep my commandments. My peace I leave with you. Right? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, right? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Okay, so next, let's see, let's go to John 15. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Okay, pay attention. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Remember, you want that peace? Are you listening? You want that peace? You say, oh, I'm not at peace. Well, are you obeying his commandments? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Where does the peace connected to? The peace is connected to the obedience and keeping his commandments. Right? Well, I'm unsettled and troubled. And well, yeah, you probably are. You're probably not being obedient. Smile. Jesus loves you. Amen. Come on. Look, you don't have to tell me, and I can see it on your face. I can see it on your face. Believe me. I don't tell you all the time, but I can. God gives it to you. All right, let's keep going here. Man, this is good. Praise God. Isn't the Word of God good? I don't have any notes. This is all Bible. I don't have a bunch of notes here. This is all Bible. It's all it is. Straight Bible. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Okay, how do we continue in his love, Joshua? If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Isn't that something? God answers it right there for you. Well, how do I do that? How do I abide in his love? If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus, the example. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy... Anybody having a problem with joy? Right? It's so practical, it hurts. Isn't it? Isn't it? Almost make you mad sometimes. Well, I should have figured that out a long time ago. But remember, over and over again, the Bible says, put them in remembrance, put them in remembrance, put them in remembrance, put them in remembrance. Why? Because you forget. That's why. So you got to be in remembrance all the time. Okay. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God wants you to live in full joyness, joyfulness in the Spirit. God wants you to live in that. Amen. He wants you to do that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now here we go. Here's the example of that love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus' disciples follow him, and they are obedient. And they are his friends. Right? This isn't saying if you don't, you're going to lose it. No, it's saying that his friends do.
Right. Amen.
His friends obey him.
Yep.
That's what it says. His friends obey him. It's an example. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you... Okay, let's stop here for a second. We're going to go a little while. We're probably going to go till 12:30, I'm guessing, if that's almost noon. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm not going to stop. So, okay, here's what I want you to understand here. He is explaining to you love, loving one another, right? Keeping his commandments. He says that you love one another. The focus, he's saying that we all, if we love God, we all keep his commandments. And then we love our brother.
Yep.
And we're a good example to our brother and sisters. And we encourage them with that love. Our obedience encourages them.
Amen.
Of all the trials that God has brought me through, I pray that they have encouraged you to continue in the faith.
Amen.
That's what Paul did. Paul used his trials, right? The marks. He used them to encourage others to continue on in the faith. Not to give up. Not to give in. But fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, right? That's what so what he's saying is that if you love God, you keep his commandments, and if you love your brethren, you'll keep God's commandments, and you'll love them. That's how you love them. You obey God, and that's love, right? We'll illustrate it again. Keep going. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Right. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, why would they love you? If they do, there might be a problem because they killed Jesus. That's right. And let me remind you that it was the religious world that did it. That cried, Hosanna in the highest, and then crucify him, crucify him. I understand a little bit of that. Certainly not comparing myself, but in walking in the footsteps of the Savior and serving God, you run into that. One day they'll cry, you know, that you've been a blessing to them. The next day they'll want to kill you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the world, the religious world. All right, John chapter 17. See how John's theme throughout is love, and he's explaining it. Right. And I have declared unto them, verse number 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. And I in them. That's the love of God. Right? Jesus is the manifestation of the love of God. Right? All right, John chapter 21, verse number 15. Here's an example. Jesus takes Peter, who denied him, and he uses him as an example for love. I want you to notice this is very heart-wrenching for Peter. But Peter went on to be used of the Holy Ghost of God to write some of the most profitable epistles ever out there, you know, in the Word of God, obviously. To God used him to pen those things through his experiences and what he had been through, right? And a source of great encouragement for those who have failed to get back up again, right? Amen. John chapter 21, verse number 15. Best part about understanding you're wrong is you can get right. Amen? Best part about knowing you're wrong, you can get right. Isn't that wonderful? All right, John chapter 21, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Notice he goes back to his old name. He went back to his old name there, Simon, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. It's like, well, if you do, then feed my lambs. Why are you fishing, Peter? Simon, why are you fishing? What happened to Peter? Right? I go a-fishing. I go also, they said. He led them away. Right? He led them back into the boat to go fishing. To the old life. Yep. And Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? How crippling was that? He said it three times to him, the three times he denied him, right? Lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep, right? He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now, why did Jesus said, Follow me? Right? This spake he, signifying of what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, he said that because Peter did deny him three times and explained to Peter what real love is. Peter, loving me is keeping my commandments and following me. That's love. That's the love of God. Keeping his commandments and following him. But notice what he's explaining to him. He said, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked whither thou wouldest. That's Peter's self-will. That was his lack of self-denial and taking up his cross and following Christ. That's what that was. And Jesus was showing him, Peter, you said, though all forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. Right? But Peter did not take up his cross and follow Christ. Right? He ran from his cross. He denied him. And Jesus is showing them, this is what you're going to do. If you love me, feed my sheep. You were called to do something. Right? And he said to him, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That wasn't salvation. I was converted from his error. Because, why did he say that to him? Because once he was converted and he repented of that error, of what he had done, of denying Christ, then he would strengthen his brethren. What did he do? He didn't strengthen them here. He led them astray. But when Jesus rebuked him for his lack of love for Christ, for him, and his obedience, now he could strengthen his brother. Then we see at Acts 2, and the day of Pentecost, Peter leading the charge. Right? He was converted, and he strengthened his brethren. Right? Okay, so that explains his love. All right, now let's go to 1 John. First John chapter 2. Okay, so we're going to start here. I'm going to start with verse number 1, but we're going to verse number 5 here and some other ones in this chapter here. Again, the theme of love, understanding God's love, understanding us having God's love. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him. Ready? Here's another identifying factor. Here's another proof of salvation or evidence of salvation. What does he say? And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's the love of God. Remember, that goes back to the love of God. That goes back to peace, having peace. Right? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Right? Again, he's not talking about perfection. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's not saying you're going to be perfect and you're never going to fail. He's saying that your life ought to show, and you ought to keep his commandments. And if you don't, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Right? Remember, in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John is not preaching sinless perfection. Not at all. No, it's preaching the love of God. You understand that? That's what it's preaching. Evidences of salvation in the love of God in your heart. Not perfection, but the love of God and the desire to keep his commandments. If it doesn't bother you at all that you don't obey God, then you're not saved. Amen. You're not saved. If it doesn't bother you at all, it's because you don't have the love of God in you. Amen. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So there is a walk of love. There is a walk of love. When you love him, you keep his commandments, and you walk after him, and your walk is an identifying factor. It's the fruit, not the root. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. So hate, opposite of love, right? Darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So what does that mean? Well, what it means is, if you love me, keep my commandments. If I love my brother, I'm going to keep God's commandments, because I love God and I love my brother, and I don't want to stumble. I don't want him to stumble. I don't want to discourage their walk for the Lord. Right? I don't want to discourage their walk for God, so I'm going to obey his commandments. That's love. Right? That's what love is. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So then he says, love not the world. Your affections should not be in the world, but your affections should be on things above, right? We'll not cover all that, because we've already talked about that. So in other chapters, other sermons. 1 John chapter 3, turn there. Now again, we're going to talk about the love of God here in 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You ever feel, I don't understand why you do this. I don't understand why you have all these kids, and why do you do this, and why do you, I don't understand any of that. Well, of course you don't. Because you're of the world. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. Okay, so scroll down to verse 11. Actually, verse number 10. Yep. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Right? So verse number 9 says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. There's two natures in a man, the new and the old. Right? The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Right? In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain's works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. We know, now here, check this out now. Here we go. Here's another identifying factor of love. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We don't want those works of darkness. We love the brethren. We don't want to practice works of darkness. We don't want to live in the flesh. We don't want to walk after the flesh, because we love our brethren. And we've passed from darkness to light. So we want to walk in the light as he is in the light. Right? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Cain was the murderer, right? Hereby perceive we the love of God. Okay, so he said, this is what we perceive. This is how we can know. This is what we can see. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That means my own self-will, my own desires, my own, ego, my pride, arrogance. All that, we lay that down because we love the brethren. Right? Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We have that same love in us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We have that same love in us that God, that Jesus has, because he is God and he gave it to us through the Holy Ghost. So then we deny ourselves. Right? We deny the flesh. Got it? Hereby we perceive the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So it's talking about giving. It's talking about, helping others. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So our actions, our walk, our life, what we do, we love in deed and we love in truth. Sometimes we're willing to help somebody as long as it doesn't cost us too much and make us uncomfortable. The minute it makes us uncomfortable, we don't want to help somebody anymore. Right? We couldn't practice the widow's mite. She gave all. Right? She gave everything. We can be very stingy with God. We can be legalistic. Right? We can be. Very legalistic. Sometimes I think that we doubt what God can do for us. And not sometimes, all the time. I know that from my own experience. We doubt what God can do for us. We doubt what God will give us. God has showed us example over example of what he will do for us, but then we doubt him the very next day with something else. We don't believe him. We couldn't imagine giving something more than what we would that would make us uncomfortable. Right? We can be very legalistic. Well, this is what I'm supposed to give. This is what I've already said. This is what I'm going to do. To the Lord's work or to somebody or whatever. But this is what I'm going to do. This is what I said I was going to do. I'm not going to go any further than that. How Old Testament of you. Right? One of the differences is that in the New Testament, what we're commanded to do is give all if God requires. Right? And to believe God. And to know that he'll take care of us. That he'll meet our needs. That we'll never outgive him. Look, God is a beggar to no man. Whether it's given to the Lord's church, his ministry, or whatever the case may be, I think sometimes people think, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. What does that mean? What does that mean? You all know I rarely preach about money. I just don't. I know God will take care of me, always has. But the point is that I think sometimes I don't talk about it enough. I think Andrew and Lee told me I don't talk about it enough sometimes. You should talk about it more sometimes. Well, maybe I should. That's probably true. But I don't like to. You know what I mean? I don't really like to. because I believe you just ought to do what the Lord leads you to do. And some, if every time that's always the same thing and never more, that might be you leading you and not God. That might be what you're comfortable with, but maybe not what God wants. Well, I've budgeted this for the Lord. God can increase your budget. God can give you more or less. Right? I'm just saying, don't forget to be liberal with the Lord in that way. Don't forget, to whom much is given, much shall be required. You know, I get a kick out. This world is full of takers. Absolutely full of them. And one thing I've realized about putting things online, 98% of the people are takers. Now, I don't ask any of them for a dime. I don't ask anybody for money on there. I've never put out please or give me this money and all that. I don't do that. But I think it's funny, though, that most of those people will demand your time, demand things from you, try to get your attention, try to talk to you, call you, do all this other stuff, but never lift a finger to help you or the ministry to see the gospel and the things further. They never do that. And somebody will probably hear this and get mad at me, but I really don't care. I never asked them for anything anyway. Right? But the thing is, that's what they do. A lot of takers, even in Christian world. And some people, they don't have anything to give, and I understand that. And we don't ask for it anyway. We send out CDs for free. We don't care. Whatever. We're going to get that ramped up again here pretty soon. So we don't want money like that. We don't care. But the point is that there's a lot out there. But I wonder what goes on in people's hearts and minds like that when it's so easy to take. And not believe the Bible and give, and it shall be given unto you. You know? So, it's just a point. We're not talking about the law of tithing. We're talking about love. Right? We're talking about love. And you can't, you know, giving and loving are synonymous with each other. Now, sometimes people give and they have no love. I've seen that. They use it as a tool. But, yeah, it's leverage. I've seen it. Look, you pastor, even for the short time I have in 11 years, and I've seen it. I've seen them come, and I've seen them go. I've seen them use it to their advantage. Try to, anyway. It doesn't work. They end up leaving. Thank God. Glad they're gone. Anyway. But God still uses them to, to do what they will. Kind of funny. Anyway. But it talks about the bowels of mercies, right? Bowels of compassion from him. How dwelt the love of God in him? So, you know, be careful. Don't be careful not to be a legalist with God, with the ministry and the Lord and with giving and everything else. Be careful about that. But there's other ways to give too. There's time. There's all kinds of things. So just remember all those things. It's not just money. It's time, talents, gifts, right? Amen. We thank God for that. All right, let's keep moving here. We're almost done here, actually, I think. If this doesn't get really busy for Brother Andrew, he's going to be hungry. But 1 John chapter 3. Oh, no, we got that already. Okay. Oh, man, we might be able to move along, man. Oh, man. Oh, we are going to get to. Look at this. Okay, and this is let's see. Here's 23. Yep, I read that one. Okay, 1 John 4, 7. We are moving along. This is a long one, though, so we got to keep moving. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Right? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, you can't take just that verse. God is love. God is love, right? I agree. But don't forget about everything else we just talked about defining what love is. Right. Right. Because what people in the world want to do is say, God is love. That means he loves everything that I do, and it's okay for me to be a homo. No, it's not okay for you to be a homo. It's not. It's not okay. That's not loving you. That's not God's love. It's not okay for you to be a fornicator. It's not okay for you to disobey God's commands. That's not love. We have to define that. That's not love. Right? Amen. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The life of self-denial is the life of love. Obedience to God is denial to self, which correlates into me loving my neighbor, loving you, loving God by obeying God and keeping his commandments. It means I love my brother. See that? That goes this way. See how that works? And I wasn't being Catholic. Yeah, it goes up and it goes this way. Here you go. Right? That's the cross, right? It goes up and over and around. That's love, right? That's the love of God. It goes up and it goes out, right? That's what Jesus did, right? Who cares if some devil Catholics tried to ruin it? It's the truth. That's what he did. I mean the papacy, not the Catholic people, but they don't know any better, most of them. Okay, let's see. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son of the world, that we might live through him. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. If you're waiting for somebody to love you, you got the wrong focus. Yep. Do you hear me? I'm going to say it again. If you're waiting for somebody to love you, you got the wrong focus. You better be practicing biblical love to others. Well, when they do right, I'll do right. Nope, that's not love. Love means that I obey God, and I keep his commandments, and I'm an encouragement to the brethren, and I love people, right? I don't wait for them to love me, because God didn't wait for you to love him. Did he? Right? What does it say here? It says here in his love, not that we loved God. You're waiting for people to love you? You better start loving them. Right? You better start loving them. Well, those people aren't very lovable. Maybe you're not. Right. If you ain't very lovable, maybe you're as cuddly as a cactus. Yep. Right? That's Dave, cactus. Instead of water in the middle, he's got coffee. Cut a cactus open, it's got water, I heard. Is that true, Pete? Is there water in the middle of a cactus? Thank you. That wasn't that funny, Levi. That was kind of an overkill, Levi, right there. That was a little extreme. There, extreme junior. That was a little extreme there, okay? Right? I kind of sensed a little bit put on there. Wasn't that funny? You're flattering me with that now. Hey, he's trying to flatter me. That's what he was doing. Come on now. I can catch that. I've seen that before, right? Had it done a million times. Here comes a knife. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. 2-year-old. Yeah, see, now you made him cry. It wasn't me. Okay. Anyway, we're almost done here. Let's keep going. Okay, here in his love that we loved God, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. God didn't wait for us to love him. He sent his only begotten son to die on the cross, to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If you're waiting for your brother to love you, you better start loving him. The example, that's what Jesus is saying here, the example you love. That's right, that's a command. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That's the evidence of salvation. God has given you of his Spirit.